Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Tanner Tessman. Just kidding. As you can see, we have had a mishap. Unfortunately, due to some unforeseen circumstances, we're going to be without Tanner for the next couple of episodes. He's dealing with some personal issues. So we're starting off the new season with our boy, Chris Kuchar. And don't worry, y'all are going to get to know him very, very well in this first episode. But don't worry. Also, he's very familiar with Chump Chat. He's been our producer and our helper, and he's been helping manage a lot of the accounts. He's the main reason, alongside our amazing editor, Anthony, for some of the great changes y'all have been seeing along the last season. I hope you guys are liking the new format this season. But yeah, we just wanted to introduce Chris as he gets in front of the camera now for a We're Back episode. Now, we have already recorded with two guests, and we have more lined up for you guys, so it's going to be a great season. And Chris knows ball, man. We go a long way back, but I'll let him kind of introduce himself. He has his own company, Manifest Medias, that he works with athletes like myself included, kind of just helping us out with different things. He can explain more about it, but he's a great guy. He knows a lot about ball. He's funny. He's a great addition to the podcast. And you know, that's debatable, but you know, we'll leave it up to you guys. But at the end of the episode, I want to see, if you guys are messing with Chris, if y'all want Chris to stay even when Tanner comes back, let us know in the comments. I don't know if he wants to. I don't know if he's up for it. But Chris, I'll hand it over to you so you can tell them what you're all about.
I mean, I appreciate the kind words, especially the part where you said I'm good looking. You know, I'm really glad to be on the pod, obviously. It's a completely different world being in front of the camera versus doing all the stuff behind the scenes, chopping it up. But yeah, I'm all in. I'm all about the growth of the pod. Have as many athletes that are notable on as possible. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has been he's been in my life for a while. We hang out when I'm back home, and we met. Anthony will pop up a couple of clips of us playing against each other when we were like 4 years old. He was at my party when I was birthday party when I was like 10, 11, 12. Throw up the gun picture. We do miss Tanner. Hopefully he can get things sorted out and come back. But I think Chris is a great addition to the podcast. A lot of people are saying they miss kind of the wittiness and stuff that Judson used to bring. While we do miss Judson, obviously he took a different path, kind of more focusing on college. I think Chris is a perfect addition. He brings that. He knows ball, like I said. You know, yeah, I mean, he doesn't make up for the looks that we're missing because of Judson. I mean, maybe he does.
The only thing I'm missing is the bucket hat that Tanner would wear for every episode. If I had just brought on a bucket hat, they might not have even noticed that he left.
No, because the beard, literally your beard looks exactly like Tanner's, for example.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe a beanie would have helped. Like, I don't know. It's my fault. I didn't prepare well enough. Next time I'll have a beanie or a bucket hat. We'll be good to go.
I don't know. I don't know if the fans are going to like you, man. You're not very likable. Anyway, let's just start from the beginning. I mean, just so the fans know, we went to the same school in kindergarten. Because we were playing against each other, we didn't really know. We went to Fort Worth Christian, and Chris actually has a funny story. He swears.
No. Let me tell it. You're gonna butcher the story. Allow me.
Go ahead.
So, as you guys know, in kindergarten, man, the fastest kid would get all the bitches. That's just how it goes. Johan was the fastest kid in kindergarten. Dude would run laps around everybody else. But for some reason, he had like that Raheem Sterling run with like his wrist bent, a little flamboyant like. And I thought maybe if I would attribute that to my game, I could become as fast as Johan.
And get all the girls.
And get all the girls. I ended up getting all the girls anyways, but the running part, obviously that didn't help me. I just started running like this forever. And I had to go to like speed coaches, all sorts of stuff to get fixed. All because of Johan. All because he ran like Raheem Sterling. And yeah, that's the reason why he's a professional now and I'm not. Ultimately, it's his fault. He knew he had to push me out of the way in order to get to the top. But, you know, he's a nice guy. He probably regrets it. So I'm not going to hold it against him, you know.
No, I want to make it clear that I don't regret it at all. And I actually did do that on purpose. So yeah. That wasn't at all my real run. But I knew that Chris was watching. So I purposely tried to throw him off, you know. To get to the top, you have to step on people on your way there. And Chris was one of those people that I just had to step on. But, you know, we made amends, and now we are the way that we are. We're good friends. Yeah, we've been through a lot together, I would say. I mean, from birthday parties, like we said, just our families know each other for a long time. We've played on endless soccer teams together, football teams. We even played futsal together. And shout out. We'll drop this episode with Jaden Shaw. That's a little teaser for you guys, up and coming USWNT superstar. But she played futsal and she's quite good at it. Chris swears he's good at futsal. But if y'all saw him play, I don't know what you guys would think. You know, it looked like a player who plays Sunday League, but you know, there's a reason he definitely didn't make it pro. But I don't know what you think, Chris.
I was actually great at futsal because you didn't have to run. So it was since the court is so small, there's no running involved. So, man, I was unreal at futsal. We'd actually play up against those like a bunch of we were like 12 and we'd play up against like 16, 17 year old girls. Man, I was so good. All the older girls would always come to me after the games, asking me for my number. It was, oh man, those times. You remember that, Johan? Those times were crazy, man.
Yeah, I remember that. We would play like in like the basement of like an arcade. Remember?
Yeah,
something like that. Mountasia. That's what it was. Yeah. North Richland Hills. Shout out Mountasia.
Futsal wasn't. I mean, it's still not that big, but futsal wasn't like that back then. So that's. I mean, you get it where you can. You know what I mean? So we had to go in the basement.
Yeah, man. Man, it's been a while.
Shout out Alex. Who else was on that team?
Lalo, like with the curly hair, the keeper.
He's our keeper.
Yeah. But crazy. Anyway. We'll start getting into kind of the topics of this episode so that we don't bore you guys too much. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to touch on, for example, the new USMNT jerseys, the new roster, the snubs, the U20 roster that just dropped with my brother that's on it. He's on his way over to Mexico now. My performance last week in the Derby. I have some crazy stories for you, those of y'all who don't know. And yeah, before we get into that, Chris is going to hit on some channel changes that could be coming. So yeah. Chris, take it away.
So we have a few things that we're working on behind the scenes. Main thing of which is we're getting a subscription-only platform added. No, it's not OnlyFans. It's going to be right through YouTube. As much as Johan tried to make it OnlyFans, it's not going to be. It's going to be something to where we're going to do some more exclusive interviews, some one-on-one stuff with our guys that hopefully we are able to put into a smaller clip afterwards for you guys to enjoy for only our most hardcore diehard supporters. We're also going to be introducing, this is something that a lot of people have asked for, some live streams and some game watch alongs. So World Cup's coming up. Keep your eyes peeled for that. We can watch some of the games with you guys. You guys can get in our chat with us and we can have some dialogue while we're watching. That'll be, I know that's something we've both really been looking forward to. And like I said, obviously with my business, I have connections with a bunch of athletes. So, I mean, further growth for more people on the channel, maybe delving into some other sports, some college sports, who knows? But yeah, we got a lot of new things coming. So we're glad to be back. We're definitely glad to be back.
We're super glad to be back. And like Chris said, we're going to mainly focus on the core of our audience right now, which is the soccer scene. But as y'all know before, when we first got into it, through Tanner's connections, we had Dabo Sweeney on, which is a huge coach, Hunter Renfro, who's an NFL pro bowler. You know, guys like that. We had a golfer on here, an Olympian gymnast on here. So, I mean, you guys can stick with us. Obviously, we're going to stick to footballers because that's what we know. But we would love to explore all kind of sports, even outside of sports. All we talk about is success. So we're trying to help you guys find success. We're trying to find it ourselves. So I think any person that we can talk to, any successful person in any field that we can talk to, we're going to try to get to. So if y'all are messing with that, then definitely stick with us, because we got a lot of things coming. But anyway, let's kind of dive into.
Let's talk a little bit of football now.
Yeah, soccer. let's talk about some football or soccer for y'all.
Let's talk about why you're here, Johan. you this guy had scored a banger in the derby. I mean, the goal it was a little bit of tapping, but what's really drawing attention, right? The celebration afterwards.
Tapping is a stretch.
Anthony threw a clip and let Johan explain what was going through your mind when you decided to do that.
Okay, I'm going to be real. For any fans of the opposing team that are watching this or understand English, I meant no disrespect, all right? Let's just get that out of the way, okay? So in my mind, obviously, you can flash on my picture on Instagram too. You've probably already seen it. For anyone who's like following, probably anyone who follows Chum Chat on Instagram has seen it. But yeah, so essentially I outstretched my arms like this in front of the opposing fans. Now, in my mind, it wasn't a disrespectful thing. It was my first goal of the season. I've been out. For those of y'all who don't know, actually, a lot of people don't know, I was out for 7 weeks. I tore some ligaments in my ankle the whole preseason. This was literally my second game starting in a row. So I'm barely getting my rhythm back. I've only been back for a couple of weeks. It's a huge game. Literally, our fans came up to us at the beginning of the season. They said, we don't care if you get relegated. We don't care about all that. Get 6 points this season and have those 6 points be against Iowa, the two games. So we're like, all right, this is a huge game. Yeah. And so the stakes were high. They're not doing so hot. They came down from the second league last year, but they're struggling this year. Maybe they didn't make the right signings, whatever it may be. They're struggling. And it was at home, so they really needed a win. We also needed a win. So I don't know. In my mind, I was like, okay, there's going to be a big audience. I was like, so one of my teammates was like, when you score, you need to run up and do this. I did do this, but I only, you know why I did it? My teammate made it worse because he was pulling me away from them.
Yeah, I saw. Is that the same teammate that told you to do it?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And my teammate who told me was on the bench at that moment in time. But so in my moment, I was like, that'd make a pretty sick picture if I just outstretched my arms. And I think it was unreal. I think it was a cool picture.
Oh, they came out well.
And so, yeah, they're like hurling insults at me, whatever. Unfortunately, what you didn't see is like they're throwing beer at me and stuff like that. Also, nothing hit me. But
Anthony, what I want you to do, if you have that picture up, zoom in to the individual faces of how angry the people in the crowd were. You can spot out maybe like 4 or 5 people that the rage on their face is just unparalleled. It made me so proud of Johan. Awesome moment. Awesome.
Dude, they were so angry. There was like a lot of times when I get the ball in the game after that, I was just getting, the stadium was whistling, as that's what they do in Europe. It was cool. It's kind of like a cool feeling, kind of being the villain.
They wouldn't do that to a nobody. So it's big time that that's happening now.
You know, me, if there's anything about the Gomez brothers, you know, we know how to push some buttons. So at the end of that celebration, I'm going like this. My teammate pulls me away. You know, as he's pulling me away, I'm like, no, I want to go back a little bit for more. So I'll stretch my arms again and do this. That was just pure emotion. I'm not trying to do anything to anybody or anything like that. Like, you know, it's just part of the game. It's emotion. I'm not trying to,
you got booked.
I got booked. He's a Bundesliga. Some people said yes, some people said no. That's a Bundesliga ref. So they knew that could get violent, so they brought a Bundesliga, like one of the best Bundesliga refs to come, you know. And that's why I was like kind of silent the rest of the game. He was like, next one, you're out. So I was like, okay, you know, I won't do anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. It was just pure emotion. And you can literally see in the picture, one guy is crawling down, like three guys rush the pitch. And my teammates, that's why in the picture you can see, in one of the pictures you can see that I'm getting pulled away. And then my teammates are like going up to the guys, like trying to scrap. And they didn't end up doing anything. Like they got held back by the security, whatever it may be. We continued playing perfect, right? Perfect. So we won the game. It's amazing. I played like 78 minutes, whatever. It was time for me to get out. I gave everything I'd given. Honestly, I'm expecting more from the ref here because he set me up for failure. So when I get subbed out, obviously, I'm on the other side of the pitch. So I was a left striker at that time because we played 4-4-2. So I don't waste time, tells me to go out on the other side of the pitch. So I have to walk the whole that side of the pitch to get to my bench. And the good thing is that one of those sections is our fans. So, like, it's all right. But a lot of that section is their fans. So I'm walking, and I'm just getting beer hurled at me, like beer. I'm trying not to look at them. Like, I'm trying to watch the game, but I have to look at them. Or else I'm going to get pelted. And so, like, I'll watch the game, and they'll, like, turn and, like, make sure, like, they're not throwing anything at me. And, like I said, I know how to push a couple buttons. Like, I knew they weren't really going to jump out and do anything. So, like, and so then I'm walking past and to my fans. And they're getting, like, obviously, they know I'm walking. Bro, yeah. It was the best feeling I've ever had in my life.
You felt so much love.
Bro, I was walking past them.
Yeah.
And they were watching me get pelted. And so they just start cheering so loud. Like, nothing's happening in the pitch. They're cheering at me. And I'm just, like, I'm literally, like, grab the badge like this. And I'm just, like this. Like, and they get so loud. And this is, like, right in front of the guys that were throwing beer at me. And I'm just, like, nodding my head like this. And they're going crazy. They're, like, up against the fence like this, like, shaking it. And it was just unreal, run. I get to the bench. We suffered the last 12 minutes, whatever it may be. It ended right on the 90th minute mark because their fans were, I'm not going to call them names, but they were acting up. They were throwing flares in the field, like the smoke bombs, like the like purple smoke and stuff was coming out. So the ref was like, all right, we don't need any of this. And so the emotions are high. Again, like I said, we run to our fans to celebrate. That's where you see, if you guys follow me, make sure to follow me on Instagram. You see the pictures in front of our fans. We're celebrating. We're chanting. We're having a great time, grand time. We're saying hi to them, whatever. They're so happy. I mean, so much to the city. They haven't played this derby in the league in 22 years. Me and Chris weren't born yet, for reference. So I was born, lived 21 years of life, and scored the winner on them since the last time that this was played, which is pretty cool. But anyway, so we're having a great time. This means so much to them. Then I get called for an interview with Magenta, which is the platform where we, you know, get the game shown on. And so I'm interviewing, and I do it in English. I'm not that fluent in German yet. So I'm doing English, and I'm literally like, she goes, all right, thank you so much. And I go, thank you. And in the clip, there's two clips that will pop up. There's one where my coach is being interviewed and he comes, and you can see that, angle. And there's the Magenta interview. And so the Magenta interview, I go, thank you. And I look away. And then I, like, see my peripheral, and I, like, go like this. And he, like grabs my arm, but, like, he slips and falls because he's super drunk. So a fan literally attacks me for, honestly, the second time, because the first time when I was celebrating, they also attacked me. But, like, this time he actually touched me, and he falls, and, like, security tackles him. And my coach slides for me. Shout out my coach. He's American. He's being interviewed, and you can see in this video, he's being interviewed, but he stops, and the mic is right here, and he goes, He's watching the guy run. And he sees, like, that he's running, and, like, he sprints full out and, like, he pushes the guy down. And then you can see, like, I'm kind of unfazed because I didn't really know what just happened. And so I hand the mic back, and then I just start walking away. And I start walking away, and, like, my teammates see the whole thing, and they start sprinting towards. So, like, all my teammates come and, like, try to protect me, but, like, it's just, like, this drunk guy. Like, nothing was really going to happen. But it's funny. It's not funny. Like, it was honestly pretty, like, a pretty grave situation. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have no one to blame but myself by putting myself in that situation with the celebration. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you guys, the fans, think? I think, you know, it was worth it. You don't get things like that every day, you know? Like, I might not – I mean, who knows? I'm not going to say too much. This is my last year of contract with this team. Who knows what God has in store for me? But, you know, it could be my last time playing that derby ever. Even if I play for another team and we play this team, it won't mean the same. So – it was a unique experience, a unique moment that I think will stick with me forever. I'm definitely getting that picture framed and blown up. Has to be. And yeah, anyway, that's enough about me I want to transition over, because fans in Europe are crazy. My ex-teammate, Rodrigo Contesal, shout out to him. I know he's not watching. He doesn't really speak English that well, but he's the son of Porto head coach Sergio Contesal. I don't know if you heard about this, but they lost 4-0 in the Champions League, and he was on the bench. And so the coach is a Lamborghini Urus alongside with a blue Bentley, a whole collection of cars. Yeah. So they're leaving in their Lamborghini. They lose 4-0. They're leaving in the Lamborghini from the stadium. The car gets stoned, bro. Like, stoned. There's, like, crazy fans, like, of their own team are stoning the car. They're okay. I think they had a little kid the little kid, Rodrigo, the wife, and the coach was in the car. And I think the wife and one of the sons was injured, which is crazy to see.
Wow.
And it's just poor to see that, like, from your own fans. I know, like, in Europe, the passion is different, but I think there has to be a point where you kind of differentiate the passion from the sport. You know, like, I know a lot of people let their days and whatever defined by the result from their sports team. But at the end of the day, like, it is the beautiful game, but there's so much more to it. There's so much more to life than just the game. You know, like, what are you going to do? You're going to kill someone? You're going to go to jail because, you know, you're mad that they lost? Like, was he even on the pitch? Like, there's only to a certain level you can blame the coach, you know?
Definitely. So, and I think it's weird, too, at least from an American perspective. That's the Cal game is a perfect example. That's their team. That's their city, you know? Imagine if it was your neighborhood where all these games took place. We don't really get that aspect of sports in America, so it can be really hard to relate sometimes, the passion that these guys are really feeling.
Bro, that's a perfect point. I think the geography of the U.S. definitely makes that so complicated to replicate because we're so big. Like, I honestly see maybe a future where hopefully we're like the small USL teams, like Chattanooga Red Wolves, has like a passionate fan base, you know? Because a lot of those cities, we're getting there. But a lot of those cities know it, or well, a lot of people don't know this, but have a bigger population than the cities that maybe I play in or like other people play in that have a great fan base.
Definitely.
You know? So the potential is there. You just have to get around to it. You know, like, especially for cities like that. Like, I mean, I'm just nitpicking Chattanooga because I know a couple. Louisville, exactly. That's a huge city, and all they have is really like the University of Louisville and now Louisville City, and they pull a lot of people to those games. So there are a lot of untapped markets that we need to get into that I think, like I was saying, I'm nitpicking Chattanooga. I don't know a whole lot about that city, but, you know, what do they have? Maybe they have, like, the university there and stuff like that, but, like, go support the Red Wolves, you know, in USL League One. Definitely. You know? They don't have an NFL team.
10 times bigger than Zvikal, probably.
Yeah.
Yet they're drawing such a smaller crowd.
And I know this all about, like, you know, history and stuff like that. And we're not there yet, of course. Like, I'm not criticizing anybody, but I feel like, you know, we can't really use that as an excuse because with the bigger geography comes more people and more potential. So I think that, you know, this is a huge opportunity. The 2026 World Cup is an even bigger opportunity to get to where we need to be. And I think personally, a place like FC Dallas should be selling out every day, every game. And even like a place like if you get a USL team at Fort Worth or something like that, imagine a rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Be awesome.
I think that'd be insane. So hopefully there's a future that holds that. In my opinion, it'd be even better than like a Dallas-Houston rivalry because you're right by each other.
Even Dallas to Houston, people don't realize that's the size of the entire UK maybe.
Yeah.
So there really is levels. A lot of people overseas don't always understand the geography difficulties that we have over here. That's why for us, college sports is typically more of that's where you find our most passionate fan bases, just because everybody's living in the same town around where the teams play. But, you know, we don't have that aspect. I'm going to transition, though. You mentioned the 2026 World Cup. I'm going to bring it back to the upcoming World Cup, 2022. There's been some roster announcement, or there's been a roster announcement. And I don't know if you want to give your take on it. You think anybody's been snubbed?
I mean, I think there's an obvious one. I mean, he plays in Germany. You can say it or I can say it, but PFOC. I mean, I think he scored again today. So I think there's no, I'm not going to be the one to say like who deserves to be there. I'm not the coach.
So here's what I'm thinking. So I know Jordan Morris made the team. And in my opinion, it's no doubt that PFOC is a lot more talented than somebody like Jordan. However, and is it a 22-man roster?
26 for the World Cup? I think it's 26.
Regardless, those last few players on the roster, they're not going to probably see the field at all. So are you trying to fill those last few spots up more with morale guys, guys who've been on the team a lot longer, guys who have maybe been through a World Cup? That's probably what I'm thinking was going through Greg Berhalter's mind whenever he made that decision. However, news just broke. Like as the time, you guys will be watching it the day after. Oh man, I think it's looking like either Mark McKenzie or EPB is going to get that call up.
Two alumni shout out.
Two snubs. They have to be if they were on Chum Chat.
Two snubs. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think I've seen a lot of things on Twitter. I'm not an expert. I'm not the coach. And this is an aspect that Chris brings. Chris is very educated in this sense. He's one of you guys, honestly. He's a huge fan of the national team and all that, and football in general. But I think, yeah, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. Like, when Greg has his guys, he has his guys. And I think, you know, I think he's locked in on maybe like 22, 23 players, and maybe like three spots are up for grabs, maybe. Like, there's not as much turnover as people are thinking, I feel like. I think this is pretty close to what the final roster is going to be. Obviously, like you said, injuries are horrible. You look at Mexico, Tecatito is out of the World Cup. Marco Royce, I think I just read something that he's not going to be out, which thankfully is great news, because he seems to always have a curse to miss big tournaments. But, you know, I don't want to say this, and obviously injuries are the worst thing in sport, but they're a part of the game, and I think you still have some time until the World Cup. Yeah, of course, a big player can get injured, so you never know.
I think ultimately right now, if you're a U.S. fan out there and you're upset about maybe a player that you like being snubbed, I think what you really got to think is more big picture. 10 years ago, you wouldn't know the player that was snubbed. So to even be at a point where we have somebody who's scoring a bunch of goals in Germany, and even at that point, they are not able to make the team, shows how far U.S. soccer has come. The depth of our squad, just the fact that, God forbid, one of our wingers, Christian Pulisic, could get injured tomorrow, and you have Tim Weah, Brennan Aaron, you have several people who could potentially be coming off the bench to replace him. So I think overall, though, there's definitely some names out there that we'd like to see in the squad. We should be thankful that we're in a position even to be having those players that we know that are missing out.
I agree. I think if you look back at the last World Cup they were at, 2014, even 2018, when they failed to qualify, this roster is so different. It's full of young talent. I think this, I don't want to say that they should go to the mentality with like to the World Cup with the mentality of let's use this as experience, because obviously you want to go as far as possible and they will do well. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it, this core, you know, God willing, a lot can change in 4 years, but this core is going to be the same that goes to 2026. So, definitely. I mean, I know
we have the youngest average age in the entire World Cup, and to be, we're not the best team, but we're definitely not the worst team either. I'd say we're probably a middle of the pack team in the World Cup, and to be the youngest while simultaneously being a middle of the pack team, I think is a very, very, hopefully they'll prove me wrong and excel further than I even hope, but to be where we are at all is definitely a blessing. I mean, Tim Ream, for example, I believe he's a starting center back for Fulham, and he didn't make the squad, and people aren't even really saying he got snubbed. If you flash back, like I said, 10 years ago, a starting Premier League center back not making the team, that would have been all anybody can ever talk about, but I haven't heard whispers of that at all. So I think overall we're in a really, really good position.
Yeah, the growth of football is crazy right now, and I think you know, social media has helped a lot with that, and more than anything, the quality of the players, like you said. I think that's really all we can say about that. And I mean, we'll see how they perform in these next couple of friendlies. Hopefully, maybe we'll do some watch-alongs. I don't know if we're gonna have time, but we're gonna try to get that set up. If not, like you said, in the World Cup, we'll definitely have that set up. But now let's transition over to my brother, another alumni. Kevin Paredes is there, also another alum, and we're looking to maybe add a couple more. So from that roster to our roster. So stay tuned for those episodes. But U20 roster, I mean, stacked, isn't it?
Incredibly stacked. So Jogo obviously made the roster. I'm gonna ask the tough questions that I know every single person watching this right now, they're thinking, and I'm gonna ask it because I'm the only one with the proper balls to do so. So Jogo's on the roster, and you might not know fully. I don't know how much he speaks to you about this level of stuff, but is the reason he joined because he's leaning that way? Or is he joining mainly because of preparation for the Olympics, which obviously, or the U20 World Cup, which obviously Mexico missed out on?
It's a great question. I mean, anyone who knows us, and you know this, we talk every day, me and Jogo. We try to shy away from all that talk. I mean, he's drowned by it outside of our conversation, so I don't really talk to him about it. If he brings it up, he brings it up. If not, you know, we talk about other stupid things that, you know, don't stress us out. So, yeah, all I know is, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's no rocket science behind it. There's no one has to whisper. No one has to say a decision is made. Straightforward, straight as an arrow. Mexico didn't make the U20 World Cup. U.S. did. It's that simple. So the dream of any player is to play any kind of World Cup, U20, U17, senior, whatever it may be. Mexico can't give them that opportunity, unfortunately. U.S. can. That's all I can say. Jogo has his reasons. But, I mean, I know that's not the answer everybody wants to hear, but it's the truth. And sometimes the truth is it's always the simplest to give. So, he's going there to build chem with the guys, earn his spot, because nothing is given. You got to earn it. And hopefully he can shape up with those guys to go to the U20 World Cup if all is well.
Obviously, I mean, you're in a similar position, not knowing if given the opportunity who you would declare for. Personally, I'm part Ukrainian. I have some Ukrainian blood, but if I was given the opportunity, I'd be carrying an American flag, screeching like a bald eagle, declaring for the U.S. Right? What's to say about dual nationals who don't automatically know what team they are going to play for? Do you think that means they lack loyalty, or do you think that means they maybe aren't all in with that program? What would you say to somebody who might think that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Joel, even myself, we've seen those kinds of comments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him. I don't want him if he doesn't, if he's not committed to us. You know, he can go with them. It's the same way both ways. So, like, no matter what. Yeah. So, I don't know. I can speak for myself. I can't speak for Jogo, but I think everyone's different. You know, I think it's a lot more complicated than people think. This is this decision is no small decision. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just something like, for some people, you'll say it's something you feel, right? And it's easy for those people to say it because mm-hmm. maybe they're bound to play wherever they go, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, you have to look at the small details. This is a business. This is, definitely. You know, this changes every year. You know, who mm-hmm. has the better infrastructure? Who's going to give me the better opportunities? Where can I become a bigger star? People think about that. Where can I mm-hmm. become a bigger star? Where will I get more recognition? In this national team or this national team? Mm-hmm. These are things that I think about, and I know a lot of other people think about. You know, who will show me more love? Who will be more real with me? Like, all that stuff. Who do I get along better with? Because at the end of the day, I don't really think people can say, you know what, this coach is who I want to go with, or this coach is the reason. Because at the end of the day, with national teams, it changes. Like,
Definitely.
What's the likelihood, genuinely? And, you know, I'm not saying Greg is watching this, you know, all love to him, whatever it may be. But what are the possibilities that he is the head coach going into 2026 World Cup? They're slim, no matter who he is, no matter who it is, it's unlikely, you know? Like, you only see a couple national teams, like the ones who like do really well for a long period of time, Germany, Spain, they keep them. But even as soon as they started getting a little string of bad results, they're out. And so you can't really pin your hopes on a guy telling you that you're going to play somewhere. Or if Greg, for example, and this is not the case, so no one take this out of context. If Greg were to promise Jogo a World Cup spot, if you were to commit right now, Jogo can't do that because, I mean, I'm not speaking for him, but it just wouldn't make sense, because then now he's cap-tying himself and probably not going to play and Greg's going to be out. And so the next coach didn't promise him that, you know? So it's just, I don't know. It's so hard for people to just be like, oh, he doesn't feel it. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's so many, it's just, football players nowadays, I feel like, aren't as, I don't want to, because they used to say, like, football players back in the day were, like, passionate. Maybe they were passionate, but maybe they were a bit more naive. Now with social media, people are smarter. They're thinking these things through. They're like, okay. Because maybe back in the day, honestly, a guy like Pepe probably would have gone with Mexico. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. He would have gone with Mexico definitely. Back in the day. But he's smart. He thought it through. He knew what federation could give him what, and he made his decision. And I'd say it's worked out pretty well for him so far. He's at one step away from going to the World Cup. If he would have chosen Mexico, would he have gone to the World Cup? I say no chance, but you never know. You never know. So,
definitely. Well, I mean, with the U.S., we're that's one of the few spots on our roster that we don't have a number 9 at the moment. So, I mean, that makes sense. Also, shout out Pepe. What was it yesterday? Scored his first goal in 345 days. So he has been a little cold for a while, but yeah, I definitely agree with your point that he just due to our environment, he's going to thrive a lot more at the U.S.
That's the life of a striker, man. It's the life of a footballer in general. We go over it a lot on Chum Chat, as you know, Chris. You know, highs and lows. I spoke with him actually over the summer because we work out with the same guy, and he had his head pretty on straight. He had his head on straight, and I think it helped him a lot to kind of just get back to his roots, settle down a little bit, and go out there with a new opportunity, get that loan, and I think he's gonna kill it. I really think he's gonna kill it. So hopefully he continues.
Yeah, definitely. And
yeah,
I mean, going back to that point once again, I'm a man of the people. Sorry to all Mexico fans watching, but I'm on the back lines fighting my hardest to get Johan and Jonathan with that red, white, and blue on their crest. So don't you guys worry. I'm fighting the good fight out here.
Yeah, with Chris on here, I mean, he's a little bit more straightforward than Tanner. He's not in the public eye as much. Actually. Yeah, exactly. Of course. That's a positive. If y'all like the honesty that Chris can bring to it, you know, let us know in the comments as we close this episode out. But guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been a good episode. Kind of just an introduction to Chris. Let us know if you liked him in the comments or in our DMs. They're always full of love from you guys. We appreciate it so much. We're so excited to get this back up and running again. Hopefully Tanner can join us soon, but you know, we'll keep y'all updated with that. Chris is a great addition in the meanwhile, and he helps a lot with the interviews. Yeah, stay tuned to the next couple of episodes. We got Cole next week, Jane Shaw after that, and we got another couple lined up for you guys. So make sure you guys are liking, sharing, and subscribing. Chris, anything you want to say?
Man, I'm just glad to be on. I had a great time. I'm kind of thrown into the fire here, so I appreciate all of your graces. I know I'm not Tanner, but I am a better soccer player, so there really isn't anything that you have to worry about. Yeah, I'm glad to be on. In the comments, any suggestions you have, any ways that y'all want us to help production with this podcast, we'd really appreciate. We're always looking to improve, and we have some big things planned, so definitely stay tuned.
Stay tuned, and like we always say, go find your success. Deuces.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.